Did you try that Nicholson 1843?
I haven't bought any. Come on. I haven't had a chance to get to the liquor store, of all things.
It's not bad. Not
bad. Off the beat. Did you say it was cheap, though?
Yeah, it's not. It's 28, and it's made by Heaven Hill, I believe. So it's good stuff.
What was the other one you told me? I want to write them down this time. But you tried the other night. You said you tried like three or four.
I tried a lot the other night.
we all were, I think.
Yeah.
That night was... Oh, man. Welcome to the Boiled Sports Handsome Hour. It is Brumvember time. It's November when Jeff Brum does not lose games.
Well, he does loses,
but...
Like one.
One or two, yeah. And his entire coaching career. That's amazing.
He's a bad dude.
And I'll be honest, last week I was making my picks and I was sort of worried about that game. I think we all kind of were, but most of us, except the non-believers, went with Purdue and said, you know what? Brom's going to find a way because it's November. It's his month.
I am non-believer.
This is day. I'm joined by Anish, the non-believer. Who?
That's me.
Just his, as Boiler Dad described, he likes potential. He likes potential more.
He loves potential. He loves potential. There's nothing
really
wrong with that.
He's trying to rein it in. Don't win so much because then you might leave. Don't win so much.
I agree.
In fact, stop right here. Five wins is perfect.
I wanted six wins that did not grab any headlines just so that we could go 12-0 next year.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
They're getting 7 or 8 this year.
They're getting 7 or 8 this year.
Yep. They're getting 7 or 8 with at least two that should have been theirs, EMU and Missouri, and then who would have been right if...
Yeah, crazy. I mean, the
But you're not. That's
but you're
nice
not.
Thing.
But you're not.
Still,
which
a, lot,
is
still
usually...
a lot more right than you two. So
I had saying, 6 or 7. I had 6 or 7.
We'll have to check the tape. I don't check the tape.
Do it.
I don't believe that's true.
It's absolutely true.
Well, here's the other thing I'm going to bring back. I'm gonna throw it back. You have a great memory. You never forget a detail from a conversation. Mm-mm. So, particularly when you've been drinking. So when we were all together,
I don't even drink. See, I can't remember drinking.
Just merely minutes
how
ago.
Bad it is. Exactly.
So when we were all at your house the weekend of the Missouri game,
I don't remember that. That may have had a couple of drinks to do.
Allegedly,
with it. Yeah.
We were there, and Purdue was 0-2 because we were there Friday night, and I recall. Saying, and you are saying, if they don't win tomorrow, then the bowl dream is completely.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I was called on that by one of my coworkers in the Michigan office. He said, I think you said after EMU, the bowl is over. I said, I did say that. I absolutely. Yes.
You said something similar after Purdue's first two losses in the Bahamas last year, too, I recall. Basketball.
That we wouldn't make a bowl. That Purdue wouldn't make a bowl after losing two games.
I did say that Purdue
basketball will not go to a bowl game. I guarantee
it. Edwards will never get the dream of going.
Painter
to a bowl.
Can never win a bowl. That's why we're so hard on Matt Painter. Matt can't win a bowl game.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that to call you out, except
no, it's okay. It's true. After that Eastern Michigan loss, I was like, this team is not good. This team is not good.
Well, yes.
You they did, weren't. They weren't.
I didn't say that.
I think Jeff Brom has shown too, and I think Brian, I think you were one of the people who's pointed this out over the last year or so, is that there are times he falls into a like I'm going to overthink this. Like,
yes,
we only have to do so much against EMU or Rutgers or whatever, right? And
or
it's
Iowa like, at the end of the game. That play calling.
But it's almost like
he put DJ Knox on the line. He's like, all right, let's go get Knox's head knocked off just so we can get in position. And not even a good position for the field goal, right? Push it way left.
Last play. Oh, yeah.
Holy moly.
Wasn't even a good position. I don't even know what that was.
It went left, and he gets the crap beaten out of him, right? Give me a break. I know he jumped, shouldn't lift his feet, but I didn't like that.
Does the kicker maybe like it on the left hash? It's got the only thing I can think of, right?
Must be. I mean, but who doesn't like a straight kick, though? I mean,
I don't get that either. That was weird. No, but I think a few times though he's done
it. It works. Whatever.
But then it's almost like it's like once a year, like EMU this year, Rutgers last year, and then he goes, you know what? What am I doing?
Exactly.
Let's just as Dave likes to say, take the restrictor plate off. Let's just go. And he said it when they went to 0-2. Well, they were 0-2. He said for that Missouri game and thereafter, we're not going to lose because we're conservative. Right. We're going to go for it. We're going to start throwing it around, and we're going to go for it. And
so if you heard, by the way, the Michigan State game was very conservative. I was public about my disgruntlement about the way that game was called. But have you heard that they said the field was in awful shape?
I've heard people talking about that, but
yeah. And I don't know. I haven't heard that from anybody on the inside other than just buzz, right?
Right.
But if it's the case, even still, I don't think it's good enough to call the game the way they did. I just don't.
If you're worried about turnovers,
take the freaking battle to them, right? This is when Purdue is good. What they did versus Iowa, they came out right away. What did they do? They rolled blowout, which we haven't seen a ton of that. And Iowa looked like they're like, what? Right? They're like, we're going to do something different. We're going to do something because we've watched.
Haven't seen this on tape.
Exactly. Here it comes. And not only did it again, stretched them out vertically.
Kept attacking that weak side corner.
Oh my gosh, that guy.
Goodness. Right, baby.
Mm-hmm. Right, I mean, freaking
right.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Awesome.
And that's the beauty of this team all year, right? You say, okay, who steps up this week? Who's the guy, right? And that's been kind of the fun. We're starting to see a little hint at something that Markell Jones' time is coming. It's always at the end of the season. He's a bit of a workhorse, and he just kind of falls into this rhythm. And he started doing it versus Iowa. For the first time this season, we saw a little bit of Markell Jones. And this is very, very good for Purdue, especially going into games where you're going to need to get the lead and then you salt it away. And that's when Jones goes and gets his yards. And that's when Jones is going to – I think in the next couple games, he'll set a mark in the Purdue, the all-time rankings. Mm-hmm. Knox is also getting near 1,000 yards. I think he's got 760 or something. Yeah. On the season, there's some pretty neat things happening, even that we don't think of, because the big plays have obviously defined this Purdue team. But after that, the running game. And let me, while I'm on this roll, I got to tell you guys a story, okay? Mm-hmm. And you can ask the two sources I'm talking about. I talked to both my brothers about this. Early in the fourth quarter, I looked at the scoreboard, and Purdue had 61 yards rushing or something, 64. And all I thought about was Ohio State finished the Purdue game with, I think, under 70 yards rushing. The Michigan State game, Purdue finished with under 70 yards rushing. And I said, here's the key to the game, guys, right now. Purdue's got to get to 100 yards. They've got to get to 100 yards rushing. If they do it, they win, period. Okay. My brother said, why would that matter? They're spreading the ball around. They're being out. They can hit the deep ball. I said, because Iowa is making adjustments already. You can see it. The big play seems to be gone, right? It's not there. So now you've got to try to keep them honest by rushing, right? And guess what? Purdue finishes with 101 yards rushing. Markell Jones and DJ Knox had a couple key runs, nothing big, but just a couple. Kept them honest, and Purdue did enough. And that's the key. That's the key with this running. Purdue sets up the running game with the passing game, right? It forces linebackers to drop back. Purdue can't run to pass. They pass to run. And it was effective, and what a dramatic game. I tell you, I watched this game on tape. I got nervous again watching on tape. I was so nervous in the stadium that I was on my knee not watching it. Like, I couldn't do it. I didn't want to – I just couldn't do it. I've seen it many times.
Didn't want to see another – yeah, see another one end like that.
Right. The old-fashioned Purdue way, right? Well, guess what? This is a new Purdue culture. And that's the thing that we all need to be very aware of, is that Jeff Brohm has changed things. We all know it.
Well.
Damn it, we got to keep him here.
Well, but not only that, it reminded me of the Drew Brees era, in that it was not over, even when a backbreaking thing happened.
Right.
Purdue loses a 12-point lead. Gives up, then there's an ugly interception. And I saw some people putting stuff online. I can't remember who said it, but there were some criticisms of Blau not taking care of the ball.
Oh, fair criticisms.
Yeah, man. Okay, but he threw four touchdowns and he had two.
A great picks. Day.
Drew Brees would have thrown five interceptions in that game.
But didn't that feel like a Drew Brees game, though?
Yes.
I mean, they're up by 15, right? They're up by 15. They're like,
you're losing.
Not comfortable enough.
No.
Let's throw it into a triple coverage for no apparent reason, right? Let's try to throw it through a linebacker who's backpedaling. I'm like, dang, man.
You know what's weird? To win the game, that's another thing that's I was a good team, well coached. Mm-hmm. Like you said, they were making adjustments. It's not a team where you could do the same thing to them all day long. They
That's a great defense, by the way.
Very
a great,
good
statistically great
and
defense.
Let me throw these at you. Purdue had more turnovers, 2-1 than Iowa. Iowa had more first downs than Purdue by only one, and Iowa had the ball 9 minutes longer than Purdue, and Purdue won. So, when you talk about something being different, Purdue's doing something different now.
But you can't discount the effect of the big play on the flow of the game, right? The effect of starting a game hot, the effect of putting a team on their heels. Ferentz talked about it. That changed his philosophy because he said, this is going to be a 40-point game. We're both going to score 40. I need to get points. I'm going to go for two. Oh, I'm going to go for two again. And guess what? You take those 2 points.
Why you don't do that? And why you don't do that? Why
are you going so early, right?
Didn't you say something on Twitter about that?
So I don't – I understand all of these things. But you – the combination of actions that needed to happen to make that lost extra point not worth it – is less than all of the other combinations where getting that 2-point conversion would have been worth going for it at the time. They were down by 15 or they were down by 16 at the time or something like that. And so it was like math isn't time dependent, and we're kind of backfitting. Everybody that says take the points is backfitting it to say, yes, if Ferentz knew that Purdue would go ahead and not score for the next 10 minutes of gameplay and Iowa would continue to, you know, would continue to move, then sure.
No,
but
no.
You don't have that.
No, he did it too early.
Let me just play it out for you. No. But Anish, I think it was because Purdue's up 28-17 in the third quarter. 28-17, 11 points, and with 9.5 minutes to go in the third quarter, Iowa scores and they go for two.
Yeah.
You kick the field, you kick the extra point there. You make it a 4-point game with a quarter and more than a half to go. Then Purdue goes up 35-23 at the start of the fourth. Iowa scores, makes it 35-30. I'm sorry, they did kick it there.
Yeah, they kicked it there.
Where was the one that they didn't? And then they went again.
Then
they got up one. And right, that makes sense because you want to get up two. That makes sense. But had you done it, you would now need one to go up three.
Hindsight, sure, but the exact
no, that's not hindsight. That's no, football
the
wisdom.
Time was not necessary.
It's in the third quarter.
It's midway, not even midway through the third quarter. I think there's an argument to be made there that you don't in a game with this much scoring going on. That suggests to me that you think, man, we're not going to necessarily score again.
So that is what I believe. I think Ferentz got spooked. I think he got spooked by Purdue. Purdue was torching Iowa.
He thought
that that would continue. I also thought that would continue. I didn't think that it would just suddenly stop in the third quarter.
Yeah, Jay's line about good to see Purdue plug the controller back in.
Yeah.
I mean, that offense, like the funny thing is when you're in the stadium, I mean, maybe you not and not you guys, but you know, like all sorts of things happen with my time space continuum during a game when I'm there. I don't know when the score was. And so
you can't communicate with the outside world.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You're cloistered. but man, I really didn't think that drought was that long when I was watching. But man, that was really, really horrible. What, 10 minutes of gameplay offensively?
And that's the thing is that I don't think you can. I think you play the percentages and you play the game that you are anticipating. And I think everybody was anticipating that Purdue would continue to torch Iowa. And points would be, you know, yeah, you're trying to drive it. I don't know. To me, if Brohm would have done that, that's the other thing, is that if Brohm would have done that, we would have said, oh, he's just being aggressive. But the fact is that it was Kirk Ferentz. And Kirk Ferentz is the opposite of aggressive.
That's part of the thing too, right? Know yourself, right?
But to me is that if it's either always a good decision or always not a good decision. It's not dependent on who does it. And it's It's not really dependent on time when you're thinking about late in the third quarter. That's why I was saying I kind of understood why he went for Why Ryan went for two. Why?
I just would argue with 9.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. That's way
I think it's a 50-50 call. And if you kick the extra point, you're not. That's the normal thing to do. And you will catch less flack doing that than you will kicking the.
Oh, I don't know anybody's. I mean, I don't think people are. I hope they're not blaming Ferentz for.
They're not blaming.
They're not blaming two things. They're blaming Ferentz and officials, which is funny to me because those officials were Big Ten officials, meaning they're horrible.
They're bad. Yeah, they were just bad.
They're always bad. They're consistently. Well,
he made
bad,
some comment. You guys kind of came back at me when I said I saw he was bitching about it, and you're like, "Well, it wasn't too bad." He said some stupid thing.
I don't think it was that bad. I really don't.
He said we never holding call all day. What the hell does that matter? That doesn't mean you're not going to get one.
It's right. I just think it's funny that Brohm seems now to have Ferentz.
Well, him calling out no holding call. One of the biggest plays of the day was a brilliantly designed swing pass out to a tight end to the left side. He split the two wide receivers who were trying to seal on either side, and one of them absolutely tackled Antonio Blackmon, like just dragged him out of bounds. The rest did not call that hold. And it was a big one because remember, that's the one where I think Smiley was hanging on to this big tight end all the way down the line. It reminded me a lot of Dallas Clark scoring on Purdue years ago in slow motion where I was like, holy crap, this guy just keeps going. Right. Yeah. And I just had the flashbacks because of the Iowa uniform, I guess. But I was like, he can't get him down. Like, he was trying to get a grip and find a spot and he had to make the decision. He just jumped on his back eventually and pulled him down. And then there was some healthy trash talk for a good reason. That was a little embarrassing.
I did enjoy Purdue burning that good defense deep several times.
Oh,
that was.
And it was after those ticky-tack short throws, just you know, constantly picking him apart. Short. And then all of a sudden you just let it loose. And
that's Jeff Brohm right there, isn't it?
That was great. That was a fun first half.
The funny thing is Iowa fans, because we were sitting around Iowa fans in the first quarter and a half. Nope, two quarters. And thanks, Purdue. The kids club, they put us right in the center of the Iowa fans, which is ridiculous. And I don't know if you know this, Iowa travels. So tons of them there. They were dumbfounded by Purdue striking the way they did in that first quarter. They had no idea that Purdue had it in them, which I was like, you guys haven't watched much football.
That nobody can do that to their.
I think that's absolutely true, right? But the funny thing is, I didn't hear Iowa fans coming into that game complaining about their freshman corners all that much. But after that game, they're like, "Oh, these guys, they can't play Big Ten ball." They were forced into action.
It's Brohm, but who you know, you're looking at the other coaches. Who's going to pick them apart like Brohm and Blau? You know.
Right.
And Wright, I mean, and Wright was a phenomenal. I mean, he was, you know, he had a career night.
I want to do something right now. This is. I sound like George Costanza because I'm reacting to something that's very, very old, and I'm trying to come back at it. But during one of Michael and Jay's meandering podcasts a few weeks ago, you guys, there was a great question brought to us by the readers on Twitter, and they said, how do the quarterbacks rank since 2001? Is that right? Something along those lines.
Something like that, yes.
I think Michael Henry had Blau behind Sparks and this will test if Michael actually listens to the show. He put Blau pretty far down. Right.
He put him definitely below Painter, and I think he put him below Elliott.
I'm going to go ahead and do something right. Yes, he did. He did. I'm going to go ahead and do something just for balance sake. But I was not happy with that. I was listening to that during a long drive down to South Carolina or back. I can't remember.
You're one of our listeners.
I'm one of the dozens. Yeah,
exactly right. Where now it's just anger is induced.
Just spitting fire.
Yeah.
But I was like, son of a – who's this guy? Oh, wait, I know him.
Who do they think they are?
So, yeah, so here's where I'm going to say. I'm going to say Blau is better than Curtis Painter as a Purdue quarterback.
I will tell you
my logic. I don't give a damn about stat filling, okay? And Painter, I don't think he's a bad human being. I think he's a good guy. I'm glad he came to Purdue, okay? Let's get all that personal stuff out of the way. What I'm saying is that Curtis Painter got fat versus MAC teams, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio comes into town. And IU was a MAC team at that time. I don't think they had come to the Big Ten yet, right? So he would throw for a bazillion yards against those teams, right?
Yes.
And then when a good team like Penn State would come in there, it looked like he didn't know which hand he threw with, right? Conversely, David Blough beats ranked teams.
Yes. Period.
And I know that has a lot to do with this coach at this point in his career, obviously, right? But I have to say the total package, David Blough is a better all-out quarterback than Curtis Painter.
Yes, I don't disagree. Mm. He's a big game quarterback. What is that?
I don't know. I'm not ready. I don't know.
I thought you were in love with David Blough.
Oh, now I all of a sudden
you're not.
Conveniently. When is convenient?
No, it's tough because he looks
better than Sindelar. He's a Blough.
No, but that's the thing. Curtis Painter looks like that's the other thing is Curtis Painter looks like a quarterback. That's also why he was drafted, right? He just kind of looks like a quarterback.
He's a big, strong, sturdy guy, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Right? He's 6'5", white guy.
He can move, though. That's the funny thing. Out of high school, he can move, and he's good at hiding the ball. He could even run the option read.
He could move. But by the time he got to the pros, he could move like Peyton Manning could move. Right. Where you can move in the pocket, but then once you get out, the legs stop working, it's like a dog outside of the shot collar fence. I like David Blough a lot, and I think that he also benefits a lot from having the perfect coach.
No doubt. No doubt.
So
Painter got a Joe Tiller that was a different Joe Tiller, right? Joe Tiller was, I don't want to say tired, but we could say tired. Can I say tired? I'm going to say tired.
Sleepy.
He was just
fatigued.
He was weary from too many.
Weary. I like weary.
He was weary. He was trying to find money for his coaches where Morgie wouldn't give him the money for his coaches. He was sick and tired of recruiting. He didn't want it. The basketball and grass thing, everybody had figured it out by that point. Right. And he's like, remember there was a time, this is not a joke, this is not incorrect. And if you dig deep into the media archives, you can find this. Joe Tiller actually wanted Purdue to install much of the Urban Meyer Utah offense to try to get a step ahead of the Big Ten again, because nobody was doing that, right? And it did not go well because he tried to install it with he tried to use Painter and Kirsch in that way and Hance. So that's not what Purdue people think of Joe Tiller. Joe Tiller was spread them out, bubble screens, pass even when you should run, not option reads, misdirections, that sort of thing. But they tried for a second, and they also had those urine gold jerseys with the white numbers. Same.
So let me throw a couple. It's stat time. So passing touchdowns all time at Purdue, Curtis Painter's number 3 at 67. Drew Brees number 1 at 90. Who is number 2 with 71? And it's not David Blough.
Not Orton.
Nope. This surprised me.
I mean, you're thinking through the cradle, but I can't go that far back because
Not Jim Everett.
Nope. Everett's 7th with 43. Think about that. Only 43 touchdowns.
Well, so that's what I'm saying is that, you can go to some of the old guys, some of the old legends, but
not that far back.
Greasy. That's the thing is that quarterbacking was very different.
Eric Hunter.
Nope, he's 9th with 33.
Yeah, he threw a lot, and he threw a lot in a short time.
Number 2 is from 1977 to 1980.
Is that Herman?
Herman.
I was going to guess. Herman was going to be my guess. I'm stunned.
They slung the ball, man. That were fun.
I bring this up because Painter has 67. Uh-huh. Blough is 2 slots behind him with 61. So
he's going to get him. He's going to
beat him. Single season.
Booyaka.
Single season touchdown passes. Curtis Painter's high was 29 in 2007, when I think they played 17 games.
Yeah.
And David Blough, right? 2016, he had 25. I'll have to check. I think he's got maybe 18, something like that right now. Mm-hmm. So he's got a shot at this.
That is legitimately stunning.
Well, he may get that this week versus Minnesota.
but I guess. I guess both of
9 or 10 touchdowns for Blough.
Both of them got 4 years. You know, you don't you think of Blough as still a part of that disaster, but
he was.
But and with that disaster, you think about the quarterback Chimera.
Think about how much he's been through.
Yes, that's the thing. Is
and
that,
he had to split time with people, and he had to deal with. Gosh darn it, man!
Right? And, yes. And
Appleby.
Apple. That's amazing. Like, it feels like 17 years ago that was. The
case. Well, Appleby acts like he didn't go to Purdue, so it's okay for you to forget. No. I mean, No.
Too. He said
a big thing on Twitter yesterday about.
Yeah, how... whatever. Well, now I got to tell you, I used to love that guy, and I've watched him. He all but disowned Purdue, and I hope he's listening right now because he and I were good buddies for a while. I mean, like this.
He does not. I disagree with you. He's still a supporter.
It's all about Florida. It's all about Florida. Whatever.
Yeah. If I went to Florida,
if I wound up winning some big games in Florida after the time he spent at Purdue, I can't blame him for liking Florida.
The Hazel years were just bad.
Do not cross Boiler Dad. Do not do it.
He did to Etling what Blough did to him.
I am more fond of Etling than I am Appleby, and you guys know that I loved Appleby.
All three of them, Etling, Appleby, and Blough, were good quarterbacks. That's the thing. And all three of them, I think, would have done really well under Jeff Brohm, and only one of them got to play under Jeff Brohm.
So,
Henry.
Yeah, and
Henry. Speaking of guys that didn't know which arm to throw the ball with.
He couldn't throw a forward pass.
So, he looked like he was from the 1930s. And
he looked like Bob Greasy in the 60s, honestly, when he's off the field.
My last stat, just to illustrate the Curtis Painter getting fat on teams. So single game touchdown passing record at Purdue. Mm-hmm. Drew Brees, Kyle Orton, and Curtis Painter all threw six. Brees did it twice in 1998.
Against he did it versus Minnesota.
And Northwestern. Kyle Orton did it against Indiana. Mike Phipps threw five against Stanford. Mark Herman threw five against Iowa. Billy Dickin threw five against Minnesota. And Curtis Painter threw six against Eastern Illinois.
Do you hear the thread and do you hear the rhythm? It's almost like we need another five or six against Minnesota again, just to like fill in.
Well, David Blough threw five against Iowa
two years ago in 2018.
We should. I hope that they. So let's move to this week. Who, man, there's a brain fart happening. Who is the coach at Minnesota? And do we care?
I think it's Tim Beckman. No, that was
Illinois. No, it's not Beckman.
Tim Brewster.
Who's the Dillon?
No.
It's a big guy. It's a big fat guy, right?
Jerry Kill.
Yes.
Jerry Kill. He's got a health issue.
He may be gone as well. They didn't.
Wait, no, Glenn Mason.
They didn't hire that loudmouth from Michigan, did they?
I think they did, actually. Now that my notes. Hold on.
Yeah, where are the notes? Bring the notes.
As I said to you guys in our group
chat. Roll the notes.
As I said in my group chat with you guys, I am really enjoying the PJ Fleck era far more than I thought I was going to.
I'm gonna eat a little crow right now. I'm gonna admit something.
You thought he was pretty good.
I thought he was pretty good, and I actually wanted to see him at Purdue. I admit it. And there's documentation, right? Mm-hmm.
There are two coaches that
pick him though. Said you wouldn't have minded.
Yeah, right.
That's different. I think you weren't lobbying for him. Sorry, go ahead, Anish.
Two coaches that I wanted at Purdue.
You wanted entertainment
only because.
We've been looking at blog.
Yeah, only because I write for a Purdue blog that gets at least 16 clicks a week.
Oh, we got 17 after the Ohio State game.
Yeah. I wanted Ed Orgeron because, you know, unnamed, you know, I don't need to explain that. I wanted PJ Fleck because.
Did you see those Orgeron things that I tweeted at you? God. Oh, my gosh.
Sometimes I just go to YouTube and watch his normal press conference.
Amazing.
That don't go viral. It's not like viral clips of Ed Orgeron. I watch the press conferences that diehard LSU fans watch.
Can you imagine them taking notes on what he's saying? The locals know exactly what he's saying. That's the amazing part.
It's like the difference between Mandarin and Cantonese, I would assume. Is that Ed Orgeron English and everybody else is English. And PJ Fleck, because we were just coming off of 4 years of an extremely respectable like calm guy that was kind of flawless off of the field, but
terrible.
But was the worst football coach that Purdue has ever had, right? There was nothing to make fun of Daryl Hazel, which is why the only thing that I did was do the, the shipwright captain, right?
Right.
It's got to be completely nonsensical, right? But I just wanted something more. I wanted Danny Hope. If we were going to, like, let's do the hopeful Danny thing if we're going to have another football coach, right? If we can't get Jeff Brohm, let's just get one of these lunatics. And I am glad that my thought that he was a lunatic has definitely paid off.
He's nuts. He's certifiable. And his rituals are odd. His dress is odd. Everything about him is peculiar.
Necktie under the pullover.
He's trying to have his own signature. I mean, that's better than Harbaugh copying a guy that's been dead for 15 years. But I mean, it's all trying to have a brand, right? Somebody, one of his handlers said he did it.
His head creeps me out more than anything else. His head is aggressively bald.
It is aggressively bald. It's almost like the hair was been removed, right? There's no follicles there now. He's like
Lex Luthor. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know how he, but we talked about him. Like, he's all motivation and energy. That's what he is, right? And when you're winning, like that Western Michigan thing, that caught fire because they bought in, it was working, and it's like anything else. Just like Purdue, a lot of this roster is largely the players that could barely win a game, right? Yeah. Last year especially, right, was the same roster, and they looked much better, and now they're beating beating ranked teams, mm-hmm. right? So a lot of it, especially in college football, is about believing you can actually do something and have an advantage, a schematic advantage.
But there are coaches here. Go ahead.
No, but I was going to say.
Iowa was not ranked last year when Purdue beat them, right? Iowa was not ranked.
No, I don't.
Because they were like 5-4 last year.
They didn't have a very good year last year. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the crazy thing. That one stat that has been screen kept by every Purdue fan, I think, at some point was like previous – 40?
2-38 Yes. 2-38 or something.
Yeah.
And then down 3-0.
3-0 against ranked teams. And it's not just ranked teams. These are good teams.
Good ranked teams.
What were you saying about the coaches, Justin?
Well, I just was saying I think that energy thing works when things start rolling. And you gotta remember at Western Michigan, he was on the brink of not succeeding early. Like they had like a one win season. When he got in there, remember
they had
we learned
a threatened
about
mutiny, didn't they? Like
remember that, well, he booted or decommitted, not decommitted. He yanked scholarships from guys, right? Because he's like, you're not part of this. And in retrospect, it worked because you were like, look, he built something. He did have a plan, and it worked. Okay, you can make that argument, but that has not manifested itself at Minnesota. And all he has shown his ability to do is beat inferior, crappy teams. Like he looks like IU right now. They stood 3-0 or 4-0 against crap. And then they start playing conference teams, not even good ones. Like they got trucked by Illinois this weekend. And I mean trucked, 55 points.
Santa Lovey's got one of those every year.
Best thing about that, hopefully that bought Lovey some time. I mean,
oh yeah, keep him around.
Keep him around. Keep it going.
I like Lovey. Going. And actually,
who
I don't think
like
it's
Lovey.
But I don't think it's impossible for him to build a decent team. I'd be a little concerned that he could turn into a good team, but to your point, keep him there, right? Because it's better than them going out and hiring somebody really good.
I don't have any concern of him turning that into good
team. or anybody at Illinois.
You know what else? I remember last year Minnesota started like 4-0, and I said to you, they're not going to make a bowl.
And yes, I remember that discussion.
You're like, you're crazy,
because I kept saying this is a good Minnesota team.
And they didn't make a bowl, and they're not going to this year either.
They're not going to this year.
He's going to sidestep next year. He's going to take. He's going to take NC State or something like that.
No way.
Why?
His opportunities are going to. The brand is failing.
I think he's still got. If he wants to jump, actually, maybe this year. If he wants to sidestep this year, Louisville might be looking for a head.
That'd be now. That's a good fit. Now I'm gonna.
You know, they need somebody, you know, like Jay Money.
They need an energy guy.
They need a culture reset. Sometimes you need to pull stuff.
No, because if you hire someone there, I want them there for a long time.
You're right.
I don't want PJ Fleck because he ain't going to be there long no matter what.
I got one. Mm-hmm. I do have one. Seriously. And this is not.
At all.
He coaches a Redbird team right now.
Oh.
Excellent. Brock Speck.
Excellent choice.
Steady, solid.
You've always advocated for Brock Speck.
I'm a Brock Speck guy. I like Brock Speck.
You're going to steal a Purdue guy. Then that's what they call him, I think. That's the guy you steal.
So, but back to your coach's point is that there are dudes that can do that. In, you know, the big fish in a small pond. Mm-hmm. PJ Fleck is the kind of guy that would just completely demolish the Mac, right?
He was.
But I don't think he can't take that to a bigger pond. Yeah.
So did Dave Doran.
Jeff Brohm is a guy that can take what he was doing and his brand of motivation translates from pond to pond to pond. Right. Mm-hmm. Getting bigger.
But it's not just motivation. That's a piece of Brahm's genius, right?
Yes.
Brohm is not just motivation. Yeah. Brohm is also a tireless recruiter. I think I told you the anecdote about running into the Ohio State player's mom in Mackey. And she said, even after my son committed, we get all these friendly notes and reminders. Hey, if you're not feeling good about your commitment, we'd love to still have you at Purdue. I know we're respecting your choice, but we would love – it was like all that because she still liked Brohm after her son committed someplace else. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of a contrast to Hazel, who never recruited anyone, right?
Until the last second and then was dismayed when they picked someone else.
Right. So you've got a guy whose attention to detail is high. His energy is high. He's a motivator. He knows the right things to say to push the psychological buttons. He's built a tremendous coaching staff and – he's a freaking genius.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's a lot of good things.
He's a good. I think he's good, you guys. I think Jeff Brohm is a good head coach. I think
freaking.
What he has? Does he have 11 wins now, or is that right? Is he 11 and 10? 12.
I think he has 12.
7-6 last year. That would make him 12-10.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's 12-10. This is funny. So at the tailgate before, we were talking about the prospects of how long is Brohm going to be there. I had a friend in town who's not a Purdue fan, but he loves watching Purdue. And he said, the funny thing is he's only got really a handful of wins, 11 wins coming into that Iowa game. But there's something you can tell when a program's just headed the right direction, when things are going well, when guys know what they're doing. And everybody in college football knows that this guy knows what he's doing.
Yep. Credit to to Mike Babinski and to Mitch Daniels and to Mike Berghoff and all of those guys who zeroed in on him. They read Bold Sports. They saw that he was our number one.
Yeah,
they're like, we trust these guys.
Yep,
they're cheaper than
smart. Term.
Yeah, and they kind of were single-minded about it. There were some, like Joe Moorhead was kind of the backup option, who's now at Mississippi State, and I'm sure he would have been okay, but they kind of zeroed in on Brohm right away. And that's the thing, is that the way that he goes about this, there are criticisms of him, which is what the whole first half of this podcast was. He's not infallible, right? But in terms of a culture change, it's like this
60,000 fans in the house. Now, just 2 years ago, the thought of Purdue filling it up for some of these middle of the season Big Ten
games. Nobody
comes into Ross Aid.
Yeah. So there was, we were sending around like we do, when we're not on the site, we're, talking about what's happening outside. And I think Jay sent a video or I sent a video. Somebody sent a video of Drew Brees scoring was Notre Dame, and it was a low angle camera shot. And right after Brees scores, I think it's the one where he rolls afterwards like a little kid, and they scan the crowd, and the crowd is just thunderous and energized, and it just looks like so much fun. And I think we all just said, can you imagine Purdue being that way again?
Right.
And we couldn't, as a guy who was at that game, I was like, I have no idea how Purdue gets back there. Right.
There was one of those. Sorry to interrupt. There's one of those where he's doing it against Michigan State. A similar thing where he's got both hands up after scoring Michigan State. And Michigan State's players kind of look a little dejected, and the place just looks electric, like you're saying.
Yes.
And to me, there's a parallel there because you're talking about a program that has gone in a different direction than Purdue since that moment. Mm-hmm. And we said the same thing. We were all like, well, I mean, it's hard to believe that wasn't that long ago. I mean, it was a while ago, but it wasn't 1960.
Right. Right. Well, here's another that interesting stat that went around Twitter today, where it said the attendance number Purdue was at 106% of the capacity, which is hilarious. Because I mean, it's obvious. You know, we've said this about Mackey Arena. Mackey Arena is often over capacity because they don't tell you the real seat number. Couldn't it be great if they fill in that end zone and they put just a couple more seats just so it looks a little bigger time? I mean, that's one thing that I have a problem with right now is when, you know, they do a pan of the place. Oh. It looks fantastic when you're looking down to the closed end zone. When they go the other way, you're like, man, that's high school football.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan Burke. And I know Morgan, I've said again, Mr. Burke left an excellent legacy in that he got that facility, the training facility done. Yeah. Hats off to him. That was really good. But this end zone, what a debacle.
But he fought the lights and he created.
Oh my gosh, the lights. The people that have not been to Ross-Ade who come this year, they're almost stunned. Like, what is happening? I'm like, this is the deal. It's a celebration. These are very special lights. They have a frequency that the LEDs don't come across as pulsating. Even doesn't matter which type of camera you're using, and they can program to do different things.
No, but on TV,
it screws
with the TV cameras when they do the victory.
When they do it, yes.
It looks like something's wrong because you can't see.
Well, it goes dark. That's the thing. Right. It pulsates, but that's by design, obviously. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. It's great. I mean, it's so much fun, and they have fireworks every game after the win now. I mean, they had the thing that killed me, that Missouri game where you guys were there, they did the fireworks anyway.
Right. It was military appreciation, so that was part of the plan.
Yeah,
right. Yes.
Have you looked at the spread of the game of the Minnesota game?
Do you want me to say it or not say it? Is it 20?
23?
12 points. Purdue's favored at home by 12 points.
On the road.
Or no, on the road. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter.
So first time in. Remember how we were saying when the hell when they what was it against Illinois they were a double digit maybe, and we were like, when was the last time Purdue was a double digit favorite and they had a losing record? I think at the time.
Exactly.
We were like, how the hell is that even possible? This is the third time they've been ranked favored on the road against a conference opponent in a season for the first time since 1997.
Wow.
21 years ago. And folks, they still have not been ranked since 2007. And I think they're going to get their chance here, right? They win this game. You win this game big.
Well, they got 14 votes last week. I don't think so. I think you have to beat Wisconsin.
You beat Wisconsin, you're going to be ranked.
Yeah.
Unless you lose to Minnesota.
It takes a lot. I was talking to a friend of mine. He's a Syracuse grad, and he said, I keep seeing Purdue, all these stories. They're beating ranked teams, blah, blah, blah. Are they going to be ranked? I said, no. I said, the Eastern Michigan game.
Because they squeeze losses in between.
Right, exactly.
Could have been somewhere.
But that Eastern Michigan loss is so detrimental. Still, people remember that watch college football, right? So that
and they
that
should. Matters.
They should.
Yeah, they
should.
They definitely shouldn't hire a coach that loses to Eastern Michigan.
Louisville has no business talking to this guy.
You can't even beat Eastern Michigan.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
You're going to deal with Clemson. Come on now. So 11 and a half point or 12 it is now?
Yeah, it's up to 12 now.
I mean, man, this is one of those by Saturday you're going to be nice and nervous, though, because you're going to talk yourself into it all
I'm
week.
Already a little nervous.
Well, does it not feel a bit like the Rutgers game last year where we were all pretty cocksure, right? Where we're like,
Or the state game, you know? I was predicting a letdown game at Michigan State, but it still kind of feels like that where
Michigan
you want to see
good though.
Yeah, right? They are good, but you want to see them. You want to see Purdue, you know,
it's going to be cold. It's going to be like 20s.
The nice thing is that they have put together back-to-back good wins this year.
5 out of 6, baby.
Yeah. But the big one to me was following up, that, you know, that Illinois
They didn't slip against Illinois.
Yeah, yeah. That the Illinois game was when they. This is what that feels like: is that you don't want to go in. Well, you just take care of business, make it unmemorable.
Other people, I've seen them in some other chats saying they had their letdown game.
Yep,
they did.
They had it, and if you're Brom, you know what? That works to your advantage. You can say, "We're not going to let that happen again." We're not going to let that happen again. And we can't.
This is why this is where my trust of the history of this coach comes in and this staff, because they know November. They know the chips are down. This is the time where you've got to finish strong. There must be something different about the way their practices are and the way their talk is during the month of November, right? He must have just an absolute dead serious look on his face. There's something he's doing, right? I just think
they're good coaches and they build towards this point in the season, it all starts coming together. I think that's more what it is.
With basketball season just tipped off, right? It is Tom Izzo in March. It is these are the coaches that figure out their teams. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't know them as well earlier in the season and they are adjusting, but by the end, you trust them implicitly to know their teams inside and out, know what'll work for them, know what adjustments won't work for them. And that's why Brom is better in November, is that he is the kind of coach that experiments a lot earlier in the season and then knows his team inside out by the end.
So now, at the risk of doing the thing you're never supposed to do and looking ahead, but I'm not on the team, so I can do that. If they were to pummel Minnesota, and I'll say if because there's no guarantee, but let's say they did, how badly will you want Wisconsin? You're going to want all of Wisconsin.
Yeah, man, I have never known a Wisconsin win. I've never known what victory is against Wisconsin. Yeah. I think we did that. The last victory against Wisconsin was when I was embarrassingly young.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I literally cannot imagine them beating Wisconsin. And Wisconsin's not that great. Like, they're not very good.
I don't know how they're not ranked.
They're very one-dimensional guys.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Very.
The kid from Full House, right? Or whatever. Home Improvement.
Jonathan
Taylor Thomas. Yes, exactly. Jonathan Taylor Thomas is their running back. The voice of Simba. That's right.
He was the voice of Simba?
Jonathan Taylor Thomas, young Simba, man.
Come
on. Yeah, get on your cartoon facts.
Learn something new every day around here.
He didn't do the singing, by the way, I don't think.
Who the we talking about live? Jonathan Taylor Thomas, the running back.
The running back did not do the singing either.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I don't think either of them did it. So I think Jonathan Taylor Thomas just did the voice. They had a different kid do the singing.
So there's the likelihoods now, or the possibilities now are 5, 6, 7, or 8 wins. Where do you guys think Purdue ends up? Boiler down.
Regular
right
season.
Now.
Regular season.
Three more games.
I'm gonna say 7.
Yeah, that's same money. I think that if they run the table, you guys better enjoy it, because that's going to be your last couple games watching Coach Brom.
I agree.
I feel like they're going to trip on one of those. And honestly, I could see them losing any of the three. I really could. I think they shouldn't. And I think, as I wrote in the post about scenarios for Purdue to win the Big Ten West, you know, what did we say even last year? I think I was saying this to you guys. This is your chance right now to slap around Nebraska. This is your chance, guys. You got to do it. And
they're already showing that they're
oh, my goodness. They're going to be good fast.
What did I tell you a month ago that
I thought they were going to beat Ohio State? And I said to you guys, if they do that, Frost could get them to a bowl game. And how amazing would that be? Because their last three games are all winnable games. But anyway, this is your chance. And they slapped around Nebraska. That's good. Okay. It's also your chance to beat Wisconsin. They're not as dominant as they've been. It's at your place. You still have Jeff Brom. This is your chance to beat Wisconsin too. So
I don't think that this is it for Wisconsin, your chance to beat Wisconsin. I have a feeling, and I'm not sure if I've said these exact words. I know I've hinted at this. I think that Chris is a Manchurian coach.
Yeah.
Like, Alvarez does all the work. He does all the – he's building the program still. He's not doing the recruiting, obviously. That's – I mean, think about it. Chris isn't a dynamic recruiter, right? He's got a bunch of young coaches that are, you know, really good on the road. He's got Alvarez, who's the brains of the architecture and the game plans, right? Because they're still so old school, right? And you've got Chris going, do-de-do-de-do-de-do.
He does kind of look like a derper,
A derper. Yeah. Very much.
Yes. And here's the other thing. Alvarez is not a young man. So that philosophy that doing things the way he's doing, that's not going to happen for a long time anyway.
He coaches a bowl game every year, so he stays sharp that way.
That's right. That's a good point. That's a very good point. So my point is that my dad reminded me this week how crappy Wisconsin was before Alvarez.
Oh, gosh, yeah. They were terrible.
Well, wouldn't it be amazing to see a really crappy Wisconsin again in that huge stadium have like 30,000 people returning to where they belong?
You know, talking about scenarios.
Two to four wins a year.
And as hard as it would be for Purdue to win the division because of the situation with Northwestern, somehow finding a way to eke out wins like 18-15.
He is a great coach.
18.
We all love him.
But they haven't blown anyone out. They just keep winning games. And I know you've said this before, it's when you play him, right?
Yep.
I would love this iteration of Purdue with Blau throwing the ball this way to have another swing at Northwestern. We don't get that, of course. Yeah. So, but let's think this through. Think about the Big Ten championship game just for a moment. Just come with me into the thought process here and think about it'll be Michigan or Ohio State on the other side, right?
It'll be Michigan.
Yeah. Wouldn't everyone, not just us, but everyone in the country like to see a Jeff Brom Purdue team in that game? How great a story. Tyler Trent there at the game. How great a story would that be? Instead, you're going to get freaking Northwestern get stomped.
Michigan
huh? I still don't think that's.
I just think they have to beat defense. Ohio State sometime, right? They just have to. And Ohio State has really shown that they don't know who they are anymore.
They're 8-1.
Purdue has that effect. Purdue tends to induce existential crises.
They broke them, man. Gosh, that's fun. And not that I really want to give Urban Meyer another shot at Purdue, because I'm not sure Purdue would beat them twice in a season. I'd love it. Because you know Ohio State would be concerned, and their fans would be terrible.
But you wouldn't want them to play Harbaugh's Michigan team?
Oh, I'd take that.
That's the one I want.
No, because here's the thing.
Nothing to lose at that point, because Michigan would be – they'd be just lining up. Everybody's like,
they'd be lining up for the playoff
teams. Exactly.
I'm coming at this from the other way. Yeah. If Purdue played Ohio State in the Big Ten title game and demolished them again, they would have to end the program. That's it. And Purdue would have to end the program because it's not.
Annexed a Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah. Purdue would have to end the Purdue football program, because there's nothing better. You just beat Ohio State's brains out twice in this year. Yeah,
with Urban unprecedented. Yeah.
That's
in a season. Oh my gosh! Don't get me excited. Do we want to go?
Are you guys excited to see Urban Meyer as a Browns coach next year? I think that'll be fun. Can't wait.
I don't think he's that dumb. He's not.
I don't know.
But his wife and his daughter are worried about his health.
He's got a lot of brain.
And the best thing you can do is move to Cleveland if you're in poor health. It's like it's a retiree's paradise.
He can't remember anything. He forgets stuff.
What's the body part that's bothering him this time? Let's, you know, by the time he's end, is it going to be his brain? His brain.
We've heard in a heart and brain, haven't we?
Heart, brain. Yeah.
So I'm going to go with his member.
His courage. He's like the cowardly lion. He's the wizard. It's the Wizard of Oz. That's what he's doing.
No place like Cleveland.
All right.
So I think it's time to check out some tweets.
Well, so.
Oh no, not time yet.
So first.
First.
Is there a shirt that you would is there a shirt on your short list? Christmas is coming up. I hear Christmas music all the time.
Oh, don't be a jerk. It's not Christmas time yet.
Yeah, but he's right, though. Sadly, you go into stores. I mean, It's Christmas all the time now. I mean, like, it's Christmas in August.
If I was going to buy you guys gifts, I think I would, I already know your shirt sizes. I would just go to martinvintage.com.
Well, I mean, that's a perfect gift for me. But you know what? It's a perfect gift for everyone.
They have kids. They have ladies. They have men.
Mm-hmm. And if your friends aren't Purdue fans, this is the best way to bring them over, probably.
That's I one of my coworkers and really good friends at Pitt, his brother is from Ireland. His brother did like a study abroad thing at IU.
That's in Canada, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Ireland, Canada, yes. Mm-hmm. He did a study abroad thing at IU, so he's been a loose IU fan for whatever.
Well, they're all loose.
I bought him. I did that for you. I just teed it up there.
Exactly.
And I bought him a Martin Vintage shirt, and now he's a Purdue fan. That's a true story.
That simple. All you have to do, you go down there, you're like, okay, I need 15 shirts. I've got a decent-sized family. 15 shirts, interboiled. They're going to give you 20% off regardless of how many you order. So you can just order like 100, 150 shirts. Still 20% off the inner boiled.
20% off of $1 million.
That's a lot of monies.
That's right.
Who would want, you know, an extra, you know, couple hundred grand?
The funny thing is, did you see that? We have gotten messages of people screen capping their orders, and they're ordering like 7 to 10 shirts using boiled to check out. That is stinking awesome.
20% off.
So it's not like, you know, Martin Vintage is a small company. You know that they're Purdue grads, a couple people, you know, family business. But they can handle those big orders. Tee them up. Let's go.
All you got to do is buy $5 million worth of shirts to save $1 million.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, look, I've saved $1 million.
Saved $1 million.
So let's go to the Twitters. Related to the conversation we were just having, Dakota is Grig. The dog 40 is what his handle is on Twitter. He says, would Purdue have any chance against Michigan if we somehow made it to the conference championship game? How would you see it playing out if it were to happen? Yeah, hell yeah, they'd have a chance.
Yes.
I don't know. That defense is really good.
Rocket fuel, dude. It's going to be, that'd be all motivation. That's where
imagine Brown's pregame speech in that game?
Last year, that matchup was really good. Don Brown against Jeff Brown. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. That'd be so fun.
So yes, I'll take it.
Yes. Kevin Spry asks, dream bowl game for this season, and I'll go ahead and say Rose. I don't know. Is that a trick question?
I think maybe is that a scenario situation? Because I've heard a couple that I don't like. I heard Pinstripe Bowl versus Syracuse. I don't like that at all.
I heard Pinstripe Bowl versus Virginia too.
I don't want that one either. Virginia's kind of they're a hard charging team. They've kind of figured some things out.
I do it by cities, man. I don't care.
I don't want cold weather bowls.
December, man. That is a great place for football. Football in baseball stadiums, by the way.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Terrible decision.
It's the best.
I had somebody the other day telling me about they're going to the Notre Dame Syracuse game at Yankee Stadium. And he's like, we got tickets on the 50. I'm like, right. So you're going to be 900 feet from the field.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to be able to see anything.
Weird way where.
It's horrible.
You kind of want to be.
Do they put both teams on the same sideline there like they do in Chicago, or do they do it?
No. There's enough room to have them get their own. They were both on the same sideline in Chicago. They played to the same end zone.
That's awesome. Remember?
Because they couldn't. It was too close.
Because the brick wall was right against the corner.
Yeah.
Brick is not forgiving.
And they decided that literally right before kickoff. They're like, you know what? There's only like a foot of space. Someone's going to break their neck. So let's not do that.
I think Nashville would be fun. Nashville's
one. I'd love that. We were rooting for that last year. That'd be fun. I'd go to that, definitely.
I don't think that's one of the ones I've seen, though. I've seen Gator Bowl a bunch, and I've seen
There's a different tie-in because the Gator Bowl is one of those that the Big Ten promises
you can't have the same
one every 5 years or something.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right, so a bunch of teams are ruled out because they've been there. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think you're seeing Purdue showing up there.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Nashville, Gator Bowl would be okay with me. Florida, right? Somewhere in Orlando, is that where it is?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, that wouldn't be bad.
Is that where UCF plays? No.
No. I don't. That's where they are, right, Orlando?
Yeah. It may be where they play. It may be. I'll crank up.
John Faker asks, will you hold me if Louisville fires Petrino?
Yes.
I mean,
it's going to be mutual holding. We're all going to.
I don't think it's as imminent as you guys think, because I think it would have happened.
I don't. $14 million.
$14 million to pay him off. That's a lot of money. I don't think they have it.
And what he's got to do now, because he learned a lot in the SEC, he's got to figure out how to pay players to get there for next season. If they're going to let him stick around, they've got to get the most filthy, cheatingest thing to happen.
Recruits, though. They are losing recruits left and right. Horrible. Oh, it's the worst situation for everybody. It's
literally, if you would have told me, you would have told me this, it was going to be this bad, I would have said, you're full of crap. There's no way Louisville will fall that far.
They're going to go 2-10, and they're going to get just whomped in like 5-6 straight games.
Yeah, my buddy who's a Louisville fan in grad, he's actually changed his tune. He's like, they can't get Brum right now. It's too much money. They don't know how to get this together. I love hearing that.
I mean, I think it'd be a money printing operation if they got Brom, but
I think if I'm Jeff Brom, I can get the Louisville job whenever I want to. But mm-hmm. I might not be able to get an NFL job whenever I want to. And I think that in the next couple of years.
You think he's going to get NFL nibbles this year?
I think the Browns will give him a call. Yeah. I think, and he won't be their first, second, third target, but I think they'll give his agent a call, and I think he will get those bad NFL job offers. And
Brady's his agent, right?
His friend is
whatever. It's not his son.
Yeah.
I saw Brady, by the way, after the game, said, good game, coach. He's gigantic now. It's funny how much he's grown in like a year. Yeah, right. He's a big kid now. Yeah. I don't think is he playing football? Have you guys heard that? I don't think he does, right?
I don't know.
He's so big. He's got like his dad's size. I mean, he's a big dude now. So,
but if I was Brom, you can't make the jump from Louisville to the NFL right away. But you can make the jump from Purdue to the NFL and go back to Louisville if you want. And that's the most persuasive argument I can make if I was even Purdue brass. That's what I would say. Mm-hmm. You stay here. You can contend. We have facilities. And if you want to jump to the NFL. You know, that's up to you, but unless it's a top tier college job, there's no leaving this.
Yeah, I hate that scenario we talked about, the Lincoln Riley to Cleveland and then Oklahoma, and then calling
Oklahoma him. Opens up and who, buddy?
Yeah, that's when we all poop our pants a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Speaking of guys leaving, I'll just move on to another question from Kevin Spry, who's gotten a couple on the air tonight. Yeah. He said, this is a tough one. Who would you rather leave after this season, Brom, Babinski, or Painter?
Painter?
Niche?
That's tough.
That's hard, isn't it? You don't want any of them to go.
No, I mean, but...
But out of those three, Painter...
It seems like Purdue as a basketball job is a pretty good place, good landing spot. Right?
I think that is Matt Painter. Like, I think that
given those three choices,
Matt Painter gives a stability to this job. And man, getting rid of that.
I saw Coach Painter with the that big 4-star recruit. I saw him coming out of Mac. He actually opened the door for him. I was like, oh, I've seen that kid. Painter is still very, very tall.
Yeah.
I'm fixated upon how tall people are. I think I've mentioned it a couple times tonight. But yeah, the Painter and that recruit were both very tall. And Painter was grinning like a schoolboy. He was so happy. I'm not kidding. Like super duper happy. Just looking forward to the day. Excited for the game, I guess, the football game.
I already had a good donut or two.
I'm
guessing.
I am in on Fat Matt Painter, by the way. Matt Painter, I don't want skinny Matt Painter anymore.
Bob Huggins, Matt Painter. That's what I'm saying.
I want fat Bob
Huggins. In all seriousness, he looks so happy in that picture. Was it Clark Kellogg? Is that the one?
Oh, so happy.
So happy.
Grinning. He's full
it's like he though. Just won a bet and he got Kellogg's meal. And sorry. I'm so sorry. I got to stop. Stop now. He's a good man.
He's good coach. 12 and 13, he got skinny.
And a lot of stress. A lot of stress at that point, right? On and off.
Going right. Yeah.
It was a tough time. There were grumblings. People at Boyle Sports saying maybe it's time to move on from Coach Painter. There were a lot of things happening.
All right. I'm going to move on to
enough. Sorry.
Mike at PU Falls Cities. He asks, he likes to give us the would you rather. And by the way,
Purdue. He's pretty good at them.
Listeners, I'm a little disappointed. I haven't gotten many would you rathers. I want you guys to really test this in the future.
We haven't been stumped yet on this.
No, but here's one. He says, would you rather beat Wisconsin but lose to Minnesota and IU or lose to Wisconsin and finish with 7 wins?
Yeah, that's yes, because you get the bucket that way too.
Right.
Yeah. If the program takes a step forward in that scenario, right? You get the 7 wins. That's very
you don't want to lose to Minnesota and IU.
No.
Even for a Wisconsin win. Because that would be
7 wins. 7 wins coming off winning 3 out of the last 4. They're going to get a really good invite there, right? So that's a good scenario.
He's going to be but Brahm and Purdue is going to be a great draw now, too.
Oh yeah, no question.
To any bowl, which is like so, just reminds me of what you said. What was it? Two weeks ago. We didn't do podcasts last week, but when you said some of the stuff you were hearing during the broadcast about Purdue and State, Purdue's speed is too much for Ohio State.
What? What just happened?
What era? How long have I been asleep?
Yeah.
What did I miss?
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And the funny thing is, it's been proven like that's not a flash in the pan. Terry Wright is very fast. Isaac Zico is fast. Rondell Moore is obviously ridiculously fast when he is healthy.
So,
and DJ Knox has the fastest moving feet. It may not be the fastest 40 time. Oh my gosh, those feet are moving fast.
When he's in the open field, he just chugs along.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, he says, this one just flummoxes me. Zachary Welch, who asked us a question on the basketball beat as well, he says, assuming the coaching staff at large stays intact, do you expect a drop-off in football next year? No.
No?
I expect football.
Not at all.
I expect to be giddy with excitement all summer long if Jeff Brown was the coach for next
year. It'll be like the program will be like on a course like around the moon, like just so soaring. I want that feeling. Yeah. They'd be ranked in the preseason.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I gotta tell you, it doesn't matter who's quarterback. It could be Sindelar, it could be Sipe, it could be Plummer. It's gonna be a great team next year. And this defensive front, oh my gosh.
If the Super Bowl comes around and Jeff Brohm is Purdue's head coach, I will bet on Purdue winning the Big Ten West.
The West?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Purdue will win the
Big Ten. It'll be them in Nebraska.
Yeah. And I have faith that Purdue will do it.
I do think actually Nebraska will challenge for the West next year.
I go to sleep and I have nightmares of Martinez.
Yeah.
I cannot underscore how impressive.
That could be so much fun though. Like think about those two coaches.
Yeah.
For the next 20 years.
They're going to keep
playing. The thing I like about that is I like Purdue's defense against Martinez very much next year. Like I like them. I like the whole thing. Cause you've got this very, all of a sudden very experienced front seven. Mm-hmm. Right. And they're hard nosed and they've got a chip on their shoulder. And then you'll have some pretty okay guys coming off the bench that are freshmen. Mm-hmm. That'll be kind of fun. That'll be kind of fun. That's the funny thing. This is what good programs do, right? You know, they charge each other up, right? So next mm-hmm. year, defense that brings up the whole thing. But guess what? You know what's neat? Rondell Moore will be a sophomore next year.
We'll have 3 more years.
Oh my gosh.
You know, Anishi said if they get around to the Super Bowl and he's still their coach, I'd say if you get through December 5th, 10th,
I am still the coach. I am accounting for NFL.
Oh, NFL jobs. Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
I know this is Anishi's. This is his big Alamo. I don't think
worried this year.
Next year. Yeah,
I agree. Absolutely. I agree. And I think Anishi's point is not that's this year is the biggest risk. You're saying he's going to get calls and it just worries you.
Yeah, and it is on one hand a way to keep him around for a little longer, but on the other hand, if he takes a look at Deshaun Watson and says, "Huh,
you keep bringing up Houston. They're 6-3. Bill Bryant's not going anywhere."
Bill Bryant's not
going anywhere.
There's another team out there that might be changing their coaches that I am so scared of that I'm not even going to.
No, don't say it. Don't put it in the ether.
Exactly. So that
witnesses. I know who you're worried about.
Terrified of, but we'll see.
Oh, we got a would you rather from Galen Schumann. He says, okay, here's a good one. If I can read it correctly, would you rather win the Big Ten West, but basketball misses the tournament, or win the Big Ten in men's basketball, but beat only Minnesota and lose out with IU getting bowl eligible? Okay, so let me recap that. Purdue's still bowl eligible because they'll have beaten Minnesota.
Yeah, there'll be a 6-win. That's a pinstripe bowl there.
Right, and a loss to IU.
Or a Detroit bowl.
And a loss to IU.
Yeah. Does that mean IU goes?
But bowl? That means the men's basketball team wins the Big Ten. That's not a bad trade.
Yeah, I'd take that.
Because that probably keeps Brom here.
Bowl
game. Men's Big Ten championship. Brom stays. It's perfect.
That's literally
that's my. Funny, when that question came out first, I thought I'll take the first one.
The Big Ten West is you're in the Big Ten championship game. I really want that. Oh, I want that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's
next year when Purdue is undefeated and Michigan is scared to play Purdue. Oh, do you think our defense is going to be able to stop Jeff Brom? That's what I want, Michigan fans.
Oh man.
Michigan has their rental quarterback for 2 years, right?
Yeah, Patterson.
Yeah.
PU Falls Cities may finish us off here by saying the whiskey suggestion of the week for those of you out there who are looking for suggestions. If you've just tried everything you can think of, Pikesville Rye, 10-year-old rye from Heaven Hill. Price point is about $50, so it's right in the niche's wheelhouse, and it's 110 proof. So you don't need too much of it. Is the good stuff?
I'm looking for.
That can't be easy to drink, can it?
That's looking for some moonshine, and he says.
Yeah, exactly. That's going to be a big Kentucky hug, right?
Yeah, I just
need a Kentucky hug.
That's what they call it—the burn that goes down your throat. It's the embrace.
Oh yes, I might look out for that. Thank you, Mike at PU Falls Cities. All of you, Purdue alumni around the Louisville area, Southern Indiana area, should be PU Falls Cities members.
Yeah,
pay Mike.
No brainer.
And if you're not, even if you're just follow them. They're at PU Falls Cities on Twitter. They've only got 27 followers, but they need more because they're entertaining.
Let's do some.
By the way, they're doing a watch party. I'll just throw this out there to help promote it this Saturday for the Minnesota game at the Manhattan Project. I guess that's
you retweet that. You better do that.
We better retweet that.
Yeah, make that happen. Let's do it.
And so the last thing I wanted to do was Jay Money sent out a summary of our fundraiser. That we had for Tyler. It's still ongoing. You should still donate. But we got this after Tyler week. We started this, I think the Friday right before the Michigan State game. And the response, both from non-Boiled Sports readers and Boiled Sports readers, just because Tyler was kind of out after the Ohio State game, kind of plugging in. It was tremendous and it was amazing. Boiled Sport, we got receipts for donations to Tyler's dance marathon page that totaled about $4,000. And we said that we would match up to the first 1,000. And then we felt bad because you guys blew us out of the water. So we matched 2,000. We got a corporate match for another 2,000. We got... Mm-hmm. A reader,
anonymous
Boiled Sports reader to also match $2,000. And then the cancer center that we donated to, the new cancer foundation, matched as well. So that totals in your impact, reader's impact was $12,000.
And I'll go one step further. I think we actually had more impact than that because not everybody sent in receipts. There are a lot of people that just don't want to take credit for anything they give, which is fantastic. It's the way we're supposed to be, actually. And so we saw that number just go up. As soon as that, we started mentioning on Twitter and people started jumping on, there were a lot of good things happening.
Tyler was on the radio too on Doc's show talking about it. Yep. Yeah, it went up from 62,000 to where it is now, which is 92,000, or 93. We got to get that above 100,000, guys. Yeah, so if you haven't donated, go do that. But it is, and then go donate to the Cancer Foundation that
Tyler Trent Cancer Research.
That's the one. And so I just wanted to say you guys are the best. It was really amazing. This is really the best thing that the best bold sports thing that I've been a part of.
Well, that's the best thing, period. And we talked about this off the air, but it's good for people to hear this, that, you know, we've been doing it for 12, almost 13 years, right?
12 years this week.
Okay. 12 years. So we've been producing
tomorrow,
content.
Tuesday, in fact, I believe number 6th.
All right, there you go.
That's awesome. Our anniversary.
And
anniversary, guys.
Yeah, thank you. And so you too. And the, but this is special. This is bigger than anything we've ever done by a lot. It's, you know, it's a very, very good thing you guys were a part of. And it's good that I think the one thing that you don't do one without the other. So the trust that has been built up because of the way we act towards the Purdue community is part of the reason that people wanted to jump on. And it's a great thing. It's really, my wife has a hard time with boiled sports whenever anyone knows something about boiled sports outside of our house. She always rolls her eyes, but this is a very, very good thing. And if we shuttered the doors of the BS World headquarters tomorrow, the 12 years would all have been worth it because of that.
Amen.
I think so. Yeah. It's really special. And so thanks to all you guys. This is fun. Let's just sign Jeff Brom forever.
Let's do it. Yeah. My brother sent he told me he was thinking about sending a letter to Babinski. So my brother is he's a wordsmith. And so he put together a letter and he read it to me and I said, you got to send that. It's awesome. And so he sent it and he got almost immediate response from somebody in the athletic department. And they're going to, I guess we're going to have a meal together in the next few weeks.
With Babinski?
Yeah. Well, not with Babinski, with one of the, I'm sure it's an intern, but it's somebody who Babinski assigned to us. And the guy called him and he said, my brother's a Purdue grad. And he mentioned my name and the website. Like I said, oh, I know the website. And I was like, oh no.
Oh no.
The funny thing is, I think there are very few remnants to the old bad juju that happened, you know, but there is one still. But mostly good feelings. I mean, when we have our interactions with the athletic department, it's good stuff right now. It's great talking to them, and they've clearly changed their tenor, you know, dealing with
generally. It's, let's just say, all around a happier.
We were kind of critical, and
I don't think
any of it back. I think it was deserved, and I think it was necessary.
Think we were fair.
Think we were always fair, mm-hmm. And I think we voiced what fans were thinking and feeling. So I would never change any of that. But yeah, you know what? This is what, you know, I wrote a post about this. I should write another one saying this is what we asked for. This is what we asked for just a couple of years ago. Fill that stadium back up. Make it exciting again. Hire a coach that knows Purdue is not Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've done all the things we said. You can do this here. It's been done before.
And the longer term, what we said, what did we say? We didn't say they have to be a 10-win team every year. They didn't need to be a contender every year. They need to be a contender once every 4 years, I think is what we said, right?
Yeah.
I think that's really fair. And I would say this team has kind of found its way to contention of the West, but we're talking about a Big Ten title contender. And I think, right, if he's here for 4 years, if Coach Brom is here for 4 years, we will see a Big Ten title contender.
2 years ago, right now, Purdue was a rudderless, inept, impotent team. In all seriousness, they couldn't do anything.
Limp.
Anyone.
Right. Something you know about limp.
Did you say limb? He knows.
You mean if I hurt my knee and I limp?
Yes. Yeah. Like they were limping to the,
yeah,
the end of contests.
Shut your face. How dare you?
I mean, not very strong. Not very
good. 2 years. That was 2 years ago.
Goodness gracious, guys. It just changes everything.
All summer of 17, I said, remember my hashtag? It's okay to be excited. And people were so mad that I was excited and we were excited. people, and they were telling us, you know, don't get excited. Yes, it's okay to. And here's what happens. This guy will reward your loyalty. 60,000+ people cramming into that stadium because it's fun.
Cramming is the right word, by the way. Those seats are just narrow. If you have an average width,
and it is not the capacity anymore.
Goodness, it was snowed in there
when we were there. It's like 58 now.
Iowans are hardy people, and there were many Iowans small. In there.
Well, hey man, get there early to get your seat against Wisconsin because they are not small.
They're small. They're bigger, exactly, and they travel.
They're sweaty and they smell of cheese.
They do.
And the men are worse. You guys should cut that out too.
Did you see a woman at the Bucks game name 30 or 27 different kinds of cheeses in 30 seconds?
No way.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Everybody has their own superpower, right? Some people, I assume, can fly. I assume that there are real superheroes out there. My superhero is parallel parking. It's not the most exciting superpower, but it's the one that I have. Hers was naming cheese, and it was incredible. So that's all I have to say. Shout out to Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, I had a roommate from Wisconsin, and every stereotype that exists about Wisconsinites was alive in him. So it's like, it's real. It's just, it's real.
It's tremendous. But first, we got to beat PJ Fleck. Sink the boat. The boat not doing well.
Oh, so by the way, I don't even know who it was. I retweeted him. But when the news came out that he fired his defensive coordinator, somebody in our timeline tweeted, man overboard.
That was awesome. That was very, very
so good. Great.
Simple and delicious.
Oh, so good. Well, when you have those kind of gimmicks, it makes it really easy for you to be made fun of.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. And what would they make fun of Purdue?
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, because there's no stupid missteps. What'd you say?
It's not gimmicky.
And nowhere. Yeah, it's in the middle of nowhere and, you know.
Oh, that stuff's easy. That's low food. Exactly. That's always there. I mean, but I'm talking about like program things. You know what I mean? Like you said, the personality of the program with Fleck is the story, obviously. So,
All right. Well, we will see you guys next week.
We love you guys. Good night.